Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. As an introduction to that, Jesus gathers his disciples, speaks with authority, and calls them, and us, to make disciples of all nations. They, and we, are to baptize and teach in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hear now from Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let us pray. God of spirit and power, we come before you with thanksgiving for creating and redeeming power in our lives and in our world. Kindle us in the fire of faith so that we may hear your word and obey. So work in our lives that discipleship becomes natural as breathing. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to talk to you about unity, if I can get my voice back. The scripture says it's a good and pleasant when God's people live in unity, from the psalm that we read in our call to worship. How many of you want to live in good and pleasant? Who wants to live in good and pleasant? I know I do. Getting ourselves in unity is critical to our well-being. Scripture goes on to say there's an anointing that happens when we are in unity. It's like the precious oil of the head running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running over the collar of his robes. There's a power, you see, that flows in our lives. It goes down through us and in everything that we touch when we are in unity with one another. At the end of those verses, it says, "For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore." Now, do you see the promise here? There's a promise. When you live in unity and you have unity, there is an ordained, God has ordained a blessing for you. This is an anointing in your life. I feel like today we live in a world that is anything but united. But we can actually overcome this ourselves by being in unity. And the best efforts to bring unity into your lives begins in yours and my family. When you start in your family, that blessing will flow down through your children and into your family for generations to come. And it flows and it follows you wherever you go. It's a commanded blessing that will follow you to your workplace. It will follow you to your neighborhood, to the local grocery store, to your church. And that commanded blessing will follow you into any difficult situation that you find yourself in. Because God says, where there is unity, there is a commanded blessing. And that's what we celebrate today on this Trinity Sunday. Because we see that there is unity in the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They cannot be separated, even though they may have different functions in our lives. The Holy Trinity is powerful together and blesses our lives. I kind of like to think of it like water. It's liquid, it's steam, and it's ice, right? But all of it is really H2O. Nothing changes. It just changes the way it looks. You see, the enemy wants to separate that Trinity, Holy Trinity, in our lives. The enemy wants us to be separated. The enemy of our souls wants to bring a division and a separation that causes confusion to us. It may be difficult, but you've got to remind yourself that when I am in unity and peace, when I walk in the commanded blessing of the Trinity, then there's blessing for me and for my family and for everywhere I go. There's a wedge of discontent when we're not in unity, and that wedge can grow bigger and bigger and bigger until we just can't function anymore. I've seen it happen in families. I've seen it happen in churches and whole communities. The wedge of division becomes so deep and so big and so wide that Christians can be in the same room together and they don't even say hello. But God says, when we are united, we are strong. You ever heard that saying, united we stand, divided we fall? There's a lot of truth to that. God has commanded, ordained, if you will, a blessing when there is unity in the body of Christ. In unity, we find love. We find teaching. We find grace. We find salvation. We find joy. We find healing. We find communication and solutions to problems. The story I want to share with you about a man named Mr. E.B. Garner from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now, this was published in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, June the 12th, 2011. Mr. Garner loves to fish. He also loves to teach others to fish. He is all about this doing and teaching. At the age of 64, he began running fishing clinics at a nearby lagoon. He started with just 12 kids. Many of them from troubled backgrounds. They weren't doing well at school or their family life. And one of the boys had been skipping school and getting into some serious mischief. When Garner learned of the boy's struggles, this is what he did. I told him if he stopped acting like a fool, I'd take him fishing after the school year. A month later, the boy's mother asked Garner, what did you say to him? Because her son had an amazing turnaround. He passed all his final exams. He did not miss a day of school for the last 4 weeks of school. And that summer, Garner took the boy fishing often, and other children from the neighborhood began to join in, and Garner found himself cast into the role of teaching from that point onward. Now he runs a free fishing clinic every year for troubled youth. Why is this story important to us today? Like Garner, the Holy Spirit likes to fish. Like Garner, the Spirit is all about teaching and gathering in unity and giving life. All done in the name of love, and through actions that express love and solve problems. Garner's story helps us to begin to understand the work of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Work that in unity blesses lives. Does unity mean that we agree on everything? I personally don't think that we can agree on everything in this life. And that's not where unity comes from anyway. Unity comes when even in disagreements, we have what is called a bond of peace. And that opens up communication. It opens up hope. and it moves us forward. Ephesians 4 says, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. This brings the bond of peace. Do you want a blessing in your life? Do you want peace in your life? Keep that bond of peace strong. You see, peace does not hold grudges. Peace is willing to be wrong. Peace doesn't have to have its own way. Peace never forces. Peace isn't bitter. Peace, you see, is a place of power. The Bible talks about God's presence reigns in peace. So if you want the blessing, the anointing of God, stay in the unity through the bond of peace. You may not see eye to eye with everyone in your life. It doesn't make one person right or wrong. It just makes us different. We are people of different opinions, but that doesn't have to fragment our lives or cause us to be bitter and to not speak to one another when we see each other. When that happens, there is no peace in Christ. We can keep the bond of peace. That's where we have common ground as Christ's body. And the home is where it all starts. Your homes and my homes. Today, kids are coming to school judging one another. I hear it all the time now from my high school granddaughter. Judging. Because they think you're supposed to either vote red or vote blue. Well, where are they getting that? And there's such a great separation even in our high schools. When I was in school, it was all I could do to keep up. Well, where are the kids hanging out on Friday night? You know, that was like the big thing. We didn't talk about stuff like that. In marriage, you may not always agree, but to keep unity, keep the bond of peace. In our churches, you may not always agree. Keep the bond of peace, as Ephesians tells us. Only then can we begin to have any influence in community and go out and teach the gospel and bring others to Christ to help the poor and needy and give voice to the innocent. We can influence the world when we come together in unity through the common bond of peace and stop listening to the outside narratives that divide us. Before making decisions, ask, is this going to divide us or is this going to keep the bond of peace? Now, who gives that peace? The Holy Spirit does. You have to be in a relationship with the Spirit of God before you can be in a relationship really with yourself and others. You see, peace trusts. Peace believes in the best. Peace knows there's a better way. Peace does not insist on its own way. God can do more in us and through us when we are at peace than when we are at odds with one another. Too often we fight against each other when we should be fighting for each other. How do we fight for each other? We fight for peace at home, and then we fight for the peace in our churches and in the wider community. We do not allow the outside influences of culture to rob us of peace and unity. And when that starts to happen, especially in the family and in the church, we are going down the wrong road. For when we are in unity, there's power and there's blessing. We understand that we can do more together than apart. Is it so important to you to have your own way? All the time, anyway. There is a blessing attached to unity. May I suggest that when we are tempted to say what we should not say, so that we can be right all the time, what we think about instead is to ask ourselves, if I say it or do it, what will that bring? We may very well miss out on the blessing. We may very well forfeit our blessing because we want to feed our flesh, punish rather than teach or love. Mr. Garner chose to love and to teach fishing to kids who were really out of line and in trouble all the time. Instead of punishing, he chose to teach them to fish, to love them. Because we want, you know, often temporary gratification, perhaps that's why we push. We want to show each other who's right, who's wrong. When we begin to put things in perspective, though, we begin to see through God's eyes that we are the solution, not the problem, because we serve a big God who works through us in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's when we can walk in peace and unity in our homes and in our churches. You know, God's kingdom is built on joy and righteousness and peace. To fill our homes with peace means that we're ready to go into the world and bring that peace. So may God establish our homes. We want to build a strong foundation at home. That's where it all starts. And that will spread into our church community. Be people who are quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to get angry. I know that's hard. It's hard for me too. But that's when we can hear God's voice the best. That's who God is. We need to have those kinds of attributes in our lives. You know, people can teach us something. My children, for example, I love to listen to them. I love to listen to their wonderful ideas, their creativity. Now, I've been on earth a little longer than they have, and I don't always agree with every idea they have. But here's what's important to me: a willingness to learn from them, even if I disagree. A willingness to show my respect for them, to grow with them, and to keep the bond of peace. I don't always want to be disagreeing with them. I don't always want to reprimand them. I want to learn how to keep that peace and keep that strife out of the family. Truth is, we don't always agree in our family all the time, but most of us agree more than we disagree. And it's the small things, after all, that we usually disagree on that become big things over time. Like making a mountain out of a molehill. So we don't always see eye to eye, but we listen to each other's perspective, and most of us strive for peace. They were brought up to know that. If we can't get to that place of agreement, this is what I do. I try to zip it up. I do so to keep that bond of peace. I mean, it's only a matter of time before they're going to see it my way anyway. There's a bond of peace in the Spirit. We can learn to stay in the Spirit to keep the bond of peace. We can learn to listen to each other. We can learn to grow with one another and to communicate openly. You're in a covenantal relationship here. Want a covenantal relationship with God, with one another, with me, and the churches in our community and all around us, the wider church. So keep the bond of peace. And when we can open our communication without fear of judgment, we find peace in our relationships and we go so much further. We know that what is expected for one another to grow. We learn to laugh together, not just work together. Laughter, you see, is good medicine. Finally, I want to say to you that unity is worth fighting for. Hold your peace. Pursue it. Chase it down. Because that's where the command of blessing is. Let that oil of blessing flow down, as it did with Aaron, out your robes and into the community. Amen?
Amen.